What's up, gamers? Welcome to Battle Mallet Podcast, episode 62, Gets You Some. For anyone that isn't familiar, the Battle Mallet Podcast is the journey of three busy gamers making their way to the Nova Open Convention every year, playing games that they love, and balancing life with those games. In tonight's episode, we are going to go through our standard review of Zarbag's Gits, and unlike the Molog review, we're actually going to make the audio breaks, A, for my sanity, and B, so it's easier to edit. So my name is Jared Johnson. Tonight I am joined by Trace Al Capone Hyde.
What's up?
And Jason Table New Murray.
I'm confused. You act like I care about your sanity in editing.
No, I don't. I do, though.
So, no, we're not going to do any breaks. There will be no commercials. There's nothing.
But what about all of the ads that we run for the dollars that we make? You guys don't even know. You don't even listen to the podcast. I have like 20-minute ad breaks between each segment.
Yeah, I don't watch YouTube. You probably have every 30-second ad. It's 30 seconds an ad. 30 seconds an ad.
Absolutely. I do. You guys, I'm like rolling in it over here. Speaking of rolling in it, we do want to say thank you to Games Workshop for sending us an advanced copy of the Rivals of the Mirrored City so that we can review it and create this content for everyone. And we also want to thank Games Workshop for announcing the pre-order of Winter Maw. On Saturday. So it is
that was fast.
March 24th. So that's pretty quick. It's a nice turnaround. Pre-order on.
We found out that it was a thing on Wednesday.
What? Yes.
4 days ago. So 4 days ago?
I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah. At Adepticon's preview.
Yeah.
At Adepticon's preview. And next week, we get
to buy it. Or pre-order it, and then it's released 2 weeks later. I think that's the fastest. It's for sure the fastest Underworlds preview to pre-release that we've ever seen. And it's exciting because the game is going to be like brand new. Like it is like 7 new warbands, 3 new rivals decks, all within a month span.
Crazy.
It's going to be wild. So I'm excited about it.
I think it's within 5 weeks. Like,
within five. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Within it's 5 weeks.
Newer updated warbands. Like it just.
Yeah.
And then you sprinkle in those 3 decks and 2 new boards and who knows what rule updates. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be bananas. But anyway, so not a whole lot to catch up on. We do want to say congratulations to Kairos from Path to Glory for winning Adepticon. He took Headsman's Curse with Deadly Depths, which I guess is going to rotate out soon. So good on him for that. He got his ticket to the World Championships of Warhammer in November.
Congrats to you.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Congrats, man.
Strong showing there. So we'll see how the rest of the big events shake out. But with that, we're going to take a break, and when we come back,
we'll just keep diving
into the warband. And we're back, and we are rip-roaring ready to talk about these 9 lovely little gits.
Count them, nine!
Niner? Did I catch a niner in there? Yeah. You did, in fact, yes. So, you'll be able to preview all of the cards. They're already on Underworlds DB. We're not going to run through all of the nonsense that they can do. There are some remarkable features that we do want to bring up. So Zarbak is the leader. He is 3 wounds, and then he's got a melee profile and an attack, a spell attack action, which is a nice upgrade for this level 2 wizard. And most importantly on his card is the Scurry reaction. And this is use this after another friendly Grotz move action that began in a hex adjacent to this fighter. If this fighter has fewer move tokens and no charge tokens, this fighter makes a move action. So if a Grot next to any other Grot makes a move action, then that Grot can also make a move action. That's basically how that shakes itself out. And all of the Grots have this reaction. So Snurk, Drizgit, Prog, Stickit, Redcap, and Dibs all have this reaction. The Squigs do not, but that's fine because they're Squigs and they're going to do what they're going to do anyway. After that, we have Drizgit Dusquig Herder. He is another 3-wound fighter, and he's heavily armored. He's got a melee attack action, 2 smash, 2 damage, range 1. And he has his own separate herd squig action. This is choose this fighter and up to 2 friendly squigs adjacent to this fighter that each have 1 or fewer move tokens and no charge tokens. The chosen fighters each make 1 move action. So it's kind of a pseudo scurry, but it's they don't get to react off of a regular, like a charge. So you could charge with a grot and then scurry with another grot. But this guy, he basically just moves himself and his squigs. And you may have noticed that we said 9 fighters. This might be a new concept to everyone, because normally you don't have more fighters than there are starting hexes. So speaking of Squiggits, we have Bonecracket and Gobbleuk, and they have a rule on their card that says you cannot place this fighter in a starting hex during setup. After you place a friendly Drizgit in a starting hex during setup, you must immediately place this fighter in an empty hex that is not a starting hex adjacent to that Drizgit. And so that means that if you put Drizgit right on the front line, you could actually put these squigs in no one's territory, which could potentially be adjacent to an enemy fighter. But with 9 fighters, good luck winning that roll off to go first. So it may not be the best course of action, but it could be. Anyway.
That's what T-notes with them. They are beasts.
They are beasts, and they fly.
And they fly! Yep. But they don't have wings, but they still fly.
They're super bouncy. They just jump. Have the fly keyword.
They jump.
The ghosts don't have wings, and they have the fly keyword, Jason.
Ghosts. They ghosts. Don't fly.
They float. They drift. Anyway, they have a similar profile. 2 smash. 2 damage. All right, before we get any further, gosh, there's a lot to these things. All of the grots will inspire if you have 3 or more glory points. So in the search, the inspire step after you score 3 or more glory points, all of the grots will inspire except for Snurk. We'll get to him in a second. The squigs inspire if Drizgit is out of action. So they're kind of happy and fine, but as soon as you take out their herder, they are no longer happy and fine. All right, so the squigs have 2 wounds each. And then now we've got Prog, Stickit, Redcap, and Dib. So these are the minion-y of minions. Prog Donetta is a 2-wound grot. He has a barbed net. It's range 3, 2 smash, 1 damage. And then he has the netter ability. Attack action supported by this fighter have ensnare. So if he's adjacent to the target, then whoever's attacking gets ensnare. And then you have the shooters. So that's Stickit, Redcap, and Dibs. They all have 2 wounds each. They all have a grot bow, which is range 3, 2 fury, 1 damage. But they all have the give them a volley lads action. So this is an action. Each friendly shooter within 3 hexes of this fighter can make 1 grot bow action. Grot bow attack action. So with 1 action, you could attack 3 times with 3 different fighters. So potential for some spikes in damage there. But at 2 fury, it's not looking great. And then when they inspire, they stay at 2 fury.
So
they are not there to do damage. They are there, I think, to stand on things. But we'll get into that in a second. So the last one is Snurk Sour Tongue. So
he's not the last. He's the best.
I saved the best for last. So he is a fanatic for anybody that is familiar with Fantasy or Age of Sigmar. He's got a giant ball and chain that he whirls around. Range 1, 2 fury, 3 damage. And he inspires if he makes 1 or more failed attack actions in the preceding activation. And so you're like, well, why would you want him to fail, right? 3 damage, you want that to go through every time. Well, he changes drastically when he inspires. So he goes to 0 move, 3 dodge, and he has the spinning keyword. This fighter cannot be on guard and cannot make other actions other than wreck. And then the wreck action, it's probably not even worth me reading out loud, but suffice it to say that he basically twirls around the board, and every fighter that he bumps into, he knocks him out of the way and does a damage. You can knock into the same fighter multiple times. And ultimately you can end up doing 3 damage to the same fighter if you can roll the scatter hex.
Yeah. The key thing there is scatter. Like, we don't see a lot of scattering mechanics in the game, but you need your scatter token for this fighter. Roll 4 dice, select 3 of them, scatter the way you want. If you're pushing an enemy fighter, You're basically bumping into them and giving them a damage. It is one of the coolest mechanics that we've seen in Underworlds. Glad it's back. And this fighter gives some hard choices, right? You have to fail that attack action. When I mean hard choices, it's not hard to charge in and try to hit somebody for three. Yes, it's on two fury. What's difficult is if you miss, now he's inspired. He's standing next to an enemy fighter. Does your opponent allow you to wreck him?
Yeah.
Or do they run away?
Or do they try to attack him? I mean,
three dodge.
I'm not doing it. I've tried so many times, too many times in my lifetime. I've tried to do that. So anyway,
there's a lot more ensnare in the game now, though.
Oh, there is a lot more ensnare. Dodge. You're not looking for dodges. You're fishing.
You're looking for crits.
And he's on three health, and most fighters won't be able to just hit one shot three health.
Yeah. So yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm excited to see them get out on the table. To see how these profiles shake out. There were some fairly drastic changes in fighter profiles, but it doesn't matter because the profiles are what the profiles are now. So I'm sure you can go back and look in the annals of history to figure out what the changes actually were. But
yeah, I don't know anyone that has been playing them recently, at least anyone that we've run into. A lot of people want to play them, but never do. So this is what they are. I think one thing to note before we get into the cards, that scurry mechanic is amazing. It is activation efficiency at its finest.
Yes.
And if you are going to attack with this warband, if in the areas that you go in and try to do work, you should always be supported at least.
Yes.
So no Grot fights alone, fight together, cap them at the knees. Do whatever you have to do. That's what it's there for. And then I really like the bow. Give them a volley because now you have attack efficiency as well. Now, six fury, you're probably only going to do one, maybe two damage, but it at least gives you efficiency because it is an attack action for each one. And I don't know. I haven't gone through all the objectives in all the rivals decks, but they're, you know, if you have to make three attack actions, you could do it in one activation.
Yeah. Yeah. They fixed that in a lot of the recent rivals decks where it has to be across individual activations, but there's probably
a breakneck slaughter card that says three attack actions in the same.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
Think I recall one, but I don't know if it fits all the windows.
So anyway, that's the fighters, all nine of them, in brief. So we'll do our standard thing. We're going to call out the cards that you want to see early in the game, either because they are easier to score early or they have big value early, like they're good surges or they're good ploys or upgrades that are going to let you kind of lay into your plan well early and get set up for the rest of the game. So we'll start with the objectives as always, and I'm going to pitch things to Jason because he caught this one out in the pre-show. It was the very first one he said. He doesn't remember that all of the gets are not just in one place.
Their gets are everywhere.
That's right.
Probably one of my favorite objectives that I've read in a long time, just by the way it is written. So this is score in an end phase. If your warband holds each objective in your territory, we've seen that a lot. That's for two glory.
Yep.
So if I'm only placing two objectives in my side of the board, I get two easy glory right away. Because the other thing to point out with this warband, because there's nine fighters, you can really dictate the engagements, not in a great way, but you'll have all these road bumps or roadblocks along the way. And when you're playing objective gets, that's kind of what you want. You want to offer these targets up to your opponent to really allow the fighters in the back lines to get the objectives to score up. So this one's two glory, turn one. I'm feeling confident, but there's a bonus. But wait, there's more because it's gets everywhere. When you score this, gain two additional glory points if your warband holds each objective in enemy territory. So we would be up to four.
Yikes.
And now I can double scurry because they can have a move token, so I could move, scurry, and then do it again. So yeah. That's six range on two activations. And your warband holds each objective in enemy territory and or gain one additional glory point if your warband holds one or more objectives in no one's territory. And that's where I think it gets really saucy. So I'm going to get two for mine.
Yep.
And if there's only one objective in no man's land and I can protect that with a herder or a squig turn one where I have to, like, they have to attack them off.
Yeah.
And or I can move them off later and bring somebody else on. Like, and I'm going to get three glory turn one. Ooh, I love it.
Yeah.
A total of five if I'm, you know,
all the stars align for sure. But yeah, but just the idea that you can get, you're looking at three glory. And I mean, if who knows, like you could do a whole two objectives and get three glory, right? If you only have one objective in your territory.
Yeah.
It's not likely, but I like it. Yeah, so speaking of moving fighters a bunch, I think the next one we like is Mad Scurry. So this is another in-phase. Score this in in-phase if five or more friendly fighters each have one or more move and or charge tokens. And the reason that we really like this one early is because most of your fighters have two wounds. And so having five fighters...
What? You mean by turn three, I'm definitely going to have... I'm only going to lose, like, four fighters? No, come on.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's a solid two glory in phase in the first in phase that doesn't even require you to be anywhere. You just have to have move tokens on your fighters.
Or charge tokens.
Or charge tokens, yeah. So... Yeah, so
it's something like that. I'm out of all the ones that we've picked and out of all the objectives, this is the one that I think you have to start with.
Yes,
you have to have like, it.
Yeah,
if you don't have this in your hand,
you mulligan for this one. If you don't have it,
if you don't have Matt Scurry, you should mulligan for it. Yeah, I agree. All right, and then what do we want left? What's left, Trace?
I'm a little overwhelmed. So the next card we're going to talk about is Overwhelming Gits. This is a surge. Score this immediately after a friendly fighter's successful attack action if that fighter was supported by two or more friendly fighters. The cool thing about this card is that your supports are fairly easy to get. If you have a fighter in charge range, you can actually scurry to get some supporting fighters on that fighter with that fighter. So this is not, while it looks a little daunting, when you can just kind of react and make move actions, this kind of scores itself.
Yep.
So,
and shocking no one, there may be some push tech to help with this as well.
Yes, what? This is true. Yeah.
No way.
A couple upgrades too.
Get out of here.
But yeah, that one's fairly straightforward. You just want to try and scurry to get into range and make an attack action.
Yeah. And you can, as we said, Jason called this out, you can scurry off of a charge. So
yeah.
A fighter can charge and somebody's next to him, they can make the move action.
I think the easiest way to do this would be have one of the shooters next to somebody else, right? Like a Prague or whatever.
Yeah.
You charge and scurry Prague. So you have the two guys next to the enemy.
Yeah.
And then you know, whatever, we'll take stick it. You shoot with stick it. So that's only one supported. But then hopefully Red Cap or Dibs is within three, and then you lob an arrow over, and bam, you got it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. All right. Moving on to the gambits that we want to see. I think the first one that we want, especially early, is Gruesome Grimace. Choose a friendly fighter. The chosen fighter cannot be the target of attack actions in the next activation. So this is going to help keep potentially one of those two fighters, let's say you scurry two fighters adjacent to an enemy, you can pick one of them that can't be the target of the next attack action. And then your next activation, you charge and scurry somebody else. But Jason has another idea.
The only reason I want this card, and I want it all the time, is because when Snurk runs in and hits for three and he's on one dodge standing next to someone or in their territory, I want this so I have another opportunity to miss an attack.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
It's the only reason I want this card. I mean, yes, there are many other reasons, but that single dodge, I am keeping him alive.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Well, since I stole your big tech for that one, Jason, why don't you take the next gambit?
Okay, so you have big tech and I got a little wah.
There we go.
Sounds like a personal problem.
I mean, I guess. I get smart. I mean, a one dice to the first attack action made by a friendly fighter in the next activation. Very basic. Plus one dice. First attack action. Key here. No range limit. So yep. I am get it in the next to die.
Nice. Little wah, big wah energy.
That's right. All right. What do we want next?
You know, Trace? It's kind of like that mushroom cap. I mean, red cap.
So moving on. We're going to talk about some sneaky steps. This is the last ploy that we picked. Sneaky step is a ploy. It says choose a friendly fighter, push the chosen fighter one hex. Shocking nobody. We picked a push.
Oh my gosh. Yep. I mean, yeah, just a simple sidestep. Easy enough. Yeah. All right. Trace, keep us rolling.
Oh, you're letting me go first this time. Okay.
Give us an upgrade.
I like the sharp sticka. The sharp sticka, since I'm unprepared because Jared called on me first, sharp sticka is a range 2 attack action with 3 swords and 1 damage. And it says wicked. Wicked. This attack action has crit grievous X, where X is the number of friendly supporting fighters.
That is a wicked sharp sticka.
Wicked sharp. Yeah, I thought this was cool. I mean, the range 2 is awesome because this warband doesn't really want to be adjacent to a lot of things unless you're supporting stuff in the first place. But this one lets you attack over the top, which is kind of cool. Yep. So, yeah, I thought it was a neat little upgrade.
Pairs well with Little Wah.
Does pair well with Little Wah.
For 4 dice.
I mean, yeah, it's a Little Wah. It's a sharp sticker.
Yep.
You better watch out if I'm supported by Gobble of Gook.
Gobble up. It's too much. All right. Keep us moving, Jason.
I'll keep us moving because I'm going to give you the squinty glare. So this is a Zarbag's upgrade, and his other friendly fighters can make the scurry reaction even if they have one or more charge tokens and or two or more move tokens. Keeping Zarbag alive is going to be difficult as he is pretty potent to putting out damage for your warband. But if you do, this makes their efficiency. You can do it at any time. You're not getting locked without having supports, without scurrying, without moving everywhere. So I likes it. And if he dies, you can salvage it and just rotate through cards.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. And then the last one that we're looking at is Leashed Bite. In an end phase, if this fighter is holding an objective, roll 1 magic die. On a roll of a channel or a crit, gain 1 glory point, then break this card. You want it early because it gives you your best chance of having a fighter alive on an objective in the end phase. And everybody likes extra glory, right? So, yeah, it keeps it simple. There is some tech in here. There are 2 cards that I want to call out now that we've gone through everything. Everything we've talked about has been mostly gets focused. But I also like make some noise. So this is choose up to 2 friendly squigs, push each chosen fighter up to 2 hexes. And also ravenous. So this is a squig restricted upgrade. Plus 1 damage to this fighter's range 1 attack actions. So you could push both of them and then have the upgrade on one, and now you've got a supported attack, potentially doing 3 damage. Or you push 2 adjacent, and then now you can attack with anybody else, and you are going to score overwhelming gets.
And the squigs are your most accurate melee fighters, like by far.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
especially when they inspire and they go to 3 hammers.
They go to 3 hammers with cleave. So
that is spicy.
Yeah, they're no joke.
Yeah,
I've been on the receiving end of many a squig bite.
I might have played a lot of gets in my day.
Yeah, you did.
Played against a lot of gets, either or. So one of the coolest things, if your opponent does make you go first, and you're talking about holding objectives, is instead of deploying the squigs in No Man's Land or right up in front, you can kind of deploy them behind Drizgit, then move with Drizgit and run the squigs away and keep the squigs for territorial defense in round two and three. Or to suck in another fighter, because a lot of the times people will go for the squigs right away. And you really want to offer up Drizgit, make them take them out so they do get inspired. And if they don't, then you're probably standing somewhere you want to stand.
Yeah, move Drizgit onto an objective and then run the squigs away. And now they got to deal with Drizgit. And then they're going to get the squig. Mess with the squigs. Drizgit, get the squigs. All right. Jason, play style.
Hold everything.
Hold it all.
And hope you live.
And roll single die crit deaths. That's the play style.
That single dodge is... Woo! Ouch.
Bring those cooked dice if you're going to play defensive deck.
That's cheating, Trace.
Do it and then throw them down the toilet.
Nice. what do we want for boards, Trace?
Anything with adjacent hexes, as many adjacent hexes as you can get, because the more you can take advantage of that scurry mechanic as soon as possible, the better.
Yeah. And a little foreshadowing... There may be something.
If it would be really nice if there was a board that had three starting hexes that were all.
Because there used to be. There used to be way back in the day when gits were popular.
Yeah.
There used to be a three adjacent. It was amazing. Yeah. Used it all the time.
Yeah, I remember. Even though there was like a damage hex right there, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
You're still using it. It would be nice. It would
be great. Be awesome. Yeah.
It would be so awesome. All right. So if I'm sitting down across from the gits, I have two tasks in front of me. The first task is to just murder those poor little two wound giant nosed green little goobers. and the second one is to stand on objectives. Like, that's if you want to beat the gits. You take out their fighters, you remove their pieces from the game board so they can't stand on objectives. And then you also stand on objectives so that they can't stand on objectives. They're going to have a hard time getting you off the objectives because their attacks are not very accurate. So
there's also some sneaky little things you can do. Like if you go in and making an attack at whatever, and there's a conga line, break the conga line, like kill the dude that's in the middle, because then they can't make scurry reactions.
Yep. That's smart.
Yeah.
That's smart. Trace, what do we think about Nemesis pairings?
Masks, Paths of Prophecy, because this is a hold warband. Like, there's a lot of dudes.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of pretty, there's some pretty decent accuracy and damage stuff in Paths too, if I recall correctly. There's some good stuff in Past Prophecy. I did look up the Breakneck Slaughter card that I was talking about, and it is Gale Force. Score this immediately after your warband's third or subsequent attack action in the same phase. You could do that in one activation with this warband.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So that's maybe a little sneaky shout there. If you really feel like being suicidal with your goblins.
Yeah, I don't know that anything else in Breakneck Slaughter works, but it could. I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Who knows? Masks for the surges and then paths for your doubling down on your holds, really.
Yeah, makes sense. I wonder too, offhand, this is going off script here, about Rhyme Locked with some of their hold stuff. Because there's a couple of cards and upgrades in there where you can't be pushed.
Oh, yeah.
It might help with the in phase or the after an opponent's activation.
You want to know the trick on that one, though?
What's that?
Got to be alive.
Oh, yeah. Fair. Yep. It doesn't. Yeah. You don't need to be pushed if you've just been removed from
the board.
Because you have two wounds. Fair enough. Maybe there's a reason we didn't put that in the notes. All right, Jason. What are we going to call the new player rating?
We're going to give it platinum.
Platinum. Pure
they're
platinum.
Super easy to navigate and use.
They're super easy to get killed.
So we're going to have to give this one a bronze just because they are so squishy. Most of them being on a single dodge defense. Most of them being two wounds. And the lack of damage that they put out. Like, this is going to be a warband. You really have to know when to leverage, what to leverage, and what to feed your opponent. Because nine fighter stuff is going to die. You're going to give up glory.
Yeah.
So, bronze all day, every day. I know they're going to be super popular. People love these models. People love the gits. Don't get frustrated when it doesn't go well your first couple plays, because there is potential here. And once you figure them out, they are a lot of fun.
Nice. Cool. Well,
the same way they were back in the day too, because the way that people kind of unlocked them before was finding ways to get them a bunch of attack action upgrades and then basically using them as tiny cruise missiles. So,
yeah. And that's the only thing that worries me with now with the Nemesis pairings is, like, there is no deck currently that gives you a lot of attack action upgrades. There's just a smattering here and there.
Yeah.
And that was what kind of offset losing your fighters, and which means that we just have to learn to play them a little bit different. You know, historically, you put the three wound fighters up front, have them kind of chew through those, and then you would run in with your bow grot killas with awesome attack action upgrades.
Giant spears and axes and swords. Yeah.
Yeah. And that it may not be there. So,
inertial lance, hurricane dart.
Yeah. I mean, there's options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just looking at, like, I had Brett Nick Slaughter up, and so I was like, oh, there's a couple in here.
Yeah. Mason's Great Hammer, Starmaul.
Yeah.
From Fearsome Fortress, which is, I don't know, maybe also not a bad pairing. Anyway, we could go down this rabbit hole, but we won't. What we will do is take a break and come back with the outro. And we're back, and that will wrap up this, the 62nd episode of the Battle Mallet Podcast. I hope everybody is excited to get them some.
I got it.
Yeah. Puns, we got them. As always, we want to say thank you for taking the time to listen. This has probably been, and I don't know, will probably be the shortest episode we've recorded. We now feel kind of this pressure to get content out since the Winter Maw announcement just went out. So I don't know, maybe our pending Spike Claw and Thorns episodes will be bite-sized as well. A nice little, you know, listen to it quickly while you eat your lunch or
lunchtime.
Get through a whole episode on one commute instead of having to break it up over multiple drives. Anyway, we are
just gonna drag it out to an hour.
I know, right? Yeah, let's try to get the 40 minutes, can we? We are Battle Mallet 1 on X, formerly known as Twitter. We are Battle Mallet PCast on Instagram, Battle Mallet Podcast on Facebook. So we appreciate any likes, follows, subscribes that we can get there. We are Battle Mallet Podcast on YouTube as well. The episodes are live there, as well as unboxings that you can watch of all of the releases, and we will continue to do that. So when we release our Winter Maw content, you can expect an unboxing video for that as well. I think that's it. I don't want to offend Jason by saying what he is this time, like I did on the Mawlog episode. So
he's a little wah this time.
Oh. I'm just going to own it. This is Jared, a.k.a. Dibs, signing out.
This is Trace, a.k.a. Stick It, signing out.
And I'm Jason Redcap Murray. Get the hell out of here.
I think you meant gets the hell out of here.
Ooh.
Peace.
Squeak you later.
Battle Mallet Podcast is protected under the Creative Commons license. If you have further questions as to its use, you can find more information via links on podcast.battle-mallet.com. Music by Anno Domini Beats.
I hate you so much. So much hate for you. Just so much hate. And we're back. And
there's gifts to be talked about. Oh my goodness. I can't believe they're...
All right. So, 9 fighters in this warband. We have Zarbag.
You're not going to let that channel out. Drisket. I'm not going to let you. Nope. Can't do it.
You're the worst. The worst. I don't even have my real notebook. I'm here like writing on the back of an envelope trying to get through this. So much content.